It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Nice Mets win, Pete Alonso Grand Slam. Jerry's been playing the highlights all morning long as we see the offense break out, not only Alonso, but Nimmo and Torrens and Starling Marte, all with home runs. So you hear that again coming up in a little bit. We've got these owners meetings and coaches talking and GMs talking and owners talking. So we've spent some time on that as well. But I just saw a Tiger Woods April Fool's joke as he put out on his X account. I can't believe I am saying this, but a few weeks after rupturing my left Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber plus the explosive lifts my doctors and trainers have me doing, I'm ready to play the Masters next week. Can't wait. See y'all on the course. So then Jason Whitlock, which I can't imagine that he is serious, goes, amazing. Good luck, Tiger, like right underneath it. So I don't know if he got fooled or not, but Tiger is not going to be playing in the Masters. And then quickly he goes, hey, it's April Fool's. I gotcha.
It's like you guys got caught with the eggs for kids.
Yeah, that got me. Definitely. Because I was like, that's something that is possible. I could see that actually happening. That was a good one. I got to give the Cars for Kids people credit.
Clever. Yeah, you know, no, we can't do anything like that.
Yeah, we get that email. Says you can't do it. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could, but it would have to be really lame and really obvious.
Well, I was going to be the offensive coordinator for Stanford.
But. Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
You could have done that and gotten away with it. It's like the April Fool's stuff that they worry about legally is like fake news stuff or things that could cause panic. Or
that happens every day.
Yeah, but
fake news stuff.
You know what I mean, though. They would get mad at us. But if you came on and said you were going to be the offensive coordinator at Stanford, then
that's all right.
That would have been fine. Or you could have said, I'm in the final round of interviews, something like that. You could have played it perfectly, and we would have been fine.
I'm going to be the AD of Maryland.
Which one of those jobs would you rather have?
I don't want part of either one of them.
I know you don't, but which one would you rather have?
I wouldn't want either one of them.
Would you rather?
I wouldn't.
Come on.
No, there's nothing.
No. You could say,
So you're the AD at Maryland. You have no basketball coach. You have no basketball players. Your program is basically stuck in neutral right now.
Okay.
And they're going to have to hire somebody quickly, soon. And, you know, there's all these. I don't. I don't want any of them.
I hear that part of it, but if you had to choose, this is what we do. We do hypothetical sports talk. Like, if you told me if I had to have...
Well,
only...
see, an offensive coordinator at Stanford would be fun, because I'd be working with Frank and everything. It'd be great.
But
they already have one.
Okay.
But I would say you could become a needle mover at Maryland if you were the AD.
So what are you saying? Which one are you picking?
Well, that I would just say the Maryland AD job would be the needle mover job.
Okay.
You know, although if you were somehow the offensive coordinator at Stanford and you went undefeated, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but you'd want to do it 1 year with Frank, and then that'd be the end of it.
I don't want to do any of it.
I know you don't, but you're just one more than
I'm
the other.
I'm working on this Pebble Beach trip, so just stop distracting me.
But think about all the times you could be out there playing that course if you were
if you're a coach, you ain't playing.
Oh, sure you could in the offseason.
Nah, there is
like
no
right
off-season.
Now, you go out there, you go.
Is no offseason. You got about 2 weeks of an offseason.
Bring that's a recruit out there.
Maybe Frank's had 2 years of an offseason, so maybe that's why he's going back.
These guys don't want to quit, huh?
Love it. I mean, he just loves the game. He loves the relationships that he's created within the game itself, and including a very powerful one that he has with Andrew Luck. So,
yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, if he does well and he really enjoys it, then there's going to be another program that's going to go after him at the end of this year. And he's going to be stuck doing something else again.
Ugh.
And then his family's going to be like, come home.
I took him to the DR last year.
Yeah.
He couldn't go this year. He had such a great time.
Yeah. Very few people who are getting paid the rest of their contract at $10 million to not coach would take on an undertaking like this.
It's the kind
very
of
very few people would
but,
do that.
You know, like, you know, there's certain things you got to get through, but there's no question about the relationship between the guy who asked him to do a favor for him is essentially what this is.
I mean, that's a big favor. You know, a favor is like, hey, man, you help me move my couch 10 feet. You know, a favor is not, hey, can you help me resuscitate Stanford football out of your retirement?
I don't know. It's just kind of a, you know, it's who Frank is, man. He just likes a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, if he was asking you for a favor when it came to, like, being a part of the staff, you would, I mean.
Well, he knows that I have a real job. I have a real job. So, like,
yeah.
Frank has just, you know, has been off. He's been consulting, doing some other stuff, I'm sure, some speaking engagements.
Yeah.
So Andrew knew that Frank was potentially available.
Yeah, so then when he has success at Stanford and then Stanford hires a full-time coach, Frank can come here and coach the Giants next year. What do you think?
No, I don't want that either.
You wouldn't want that?
No,
I don't want the Jets, but what about the Giants?
No.
I mean, come on. It's going to be...
Stay the hell away from here, man.
You know. Giants are going to turn it around at some point, right? You'd think?
You would think. Maybe hopefully this year they will.
Yeah. I don't know. I really have zero clue as to what they want to do with that pick, which is great for them. They've been able to conceal it up until this point.
Well, Joe Shane basically gave maybe a little bit of a tidbit yesterday when he was saying that, you know, we're not going to force the issue at number three for a quarterback.
He said for a quarterback?
Yes.
Or... Okay.
Force the issue.
So that to me means...
Meaning that if somebody fell to him, maybe, just maybe...
But he's not taking Jackson Dart at number three.
No, that would be a forced issue. Or
but
maybe,
I think
maybe Shador Sanders would be a forced issue.
That wouldn't be. Does that feel like a... Well, it depends how much they like him or not, but I don't feel like that would be a forced issue at all.
Again, you're watching the draft...
You're watching this happen.
With a bunch of your Giant fan friends.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a different take on things, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has an opinion about what they should do, and they're not the ones making the decision.
Sure.
Are the Giant fans cheering if they pass on Shador and they take Travis Hunter if he's there?
Yes.
Are the Giants fans cheering if they take Abdul Carter and they pass on Shador Sanders, if he's there?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say... Yeah, so you're telling me that it's either going to be Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Or Shador Sanders.
No, because Cam Ward's going to go number one.
No, but if Shador drops, the Giants are going to take him. That's what I've been saying all along. If Shador's there at three, they're going
to
take him. You're saying, would the Giant fans applaud? And I said, yes, they would applaud. Doesn't mean that's what I think they're going to do.
Totally different
conversation.
All right, okay.
Yes, would they be cheering?
I'm just asking you, Giant fan friend.
Yeah, they'd be happier with Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter over Shedeur Sanders. But I don't think that's what the Giants are going to do.
I think if Shedeur's there, they're
going to take him.
Because they went out there and saw him during the season. They met with Dion.
Well, because what I've said many times before is the only way that they could keep their job is to show that they've got the future at that position. And other than getting Matthew Stafford. So now that they bombed out on that and they got these two guys and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, like, you can't have a 4 or 5 win season with no future. And you're not going to keep your job that way. But if they're hanging around 500 and Shedeur is the future and there's great reports, and even if he doesn't get on the field, you know, but they're right there in the mix for a wild card at the end of the year, and then they know that next year Shedeur is going to take over and everything has been aces in practice and all that stuff, then John Mara is going to be like, listen, we're going to keep these guys.
Like, somehow if they can do the Minnesota model.
Yeah, or the Kansas City model.
The Minnesota model, because the Kansas City model would be they already had a quarterback that was there. In Alex Smith, and he had been there for a couple of years and had taken them to the playoffs.
Right. Minnesota model was they got a scrap heap guy.
Yep.
Who turned out being amazing in Sam Darnold. And then they drafted the quarterback, let Sam go get his money elsewhere, and then are now going to give the job to the rookie.
Hence the Minnesota model.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is the Minnesota, but we don't know how that model is going to work out year two. Worked out year one.
Minnesota.
Right. We don't know if the Minnesota.
Yeah, because the model, you have to have a long-term view.
Yeah. I mean, and that rookie quarterback's got to work out. So, yeah, I think if he's there, Shedeur, then they're definitely taking him.
So, it's interesting that you think that they're going to take the quarterback. This means that if you are sitting there and you're watching the draft with your buddies,
they're going to go nuts.
They're going to be angry.
I think so. My friends would be angry, yes, that I've talked to. Doesn't mean every Giant fan is going to be angry.
Oh, I know that.
But these guys,
there's probably a lot of Giant fans out there that want Shedeur.
Yeah, they don't like the fact that it's Deion's kid. They don't think he's that good. Yeah, they like Cam Ward a little bit better. A little bit better. But Shador's a no-go.
Shedeur has been in a pro-style offense the last 2 years.
I like Shedeur. I think he'll be good for them. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the guy is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, but I would make that move if I were Joe Shane and he was sitting there.
Well, they've certainly spent enough time at Colorado. Now, that could be looking at both he and Travis Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, as you said before, sometimes it helps when the decision is made for you. And the other scenario, which is a tough one, but could happen, is if they do draft Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and that guy turns out to be a stud, and Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, the combination of that, you know, does that same thing I'm talking about, which is you either make the playoffs, which could be a miracle, or you're right in the discussion, you're winning a lot of games, comes down to week 17, week 18, and Joe Shane can look at John Mara and go, hey, we won more games. We're going in the right direction. And last year, I got you Malik Nabers. This year, I got you Travis Hunter. And we'll get our quarterback. But look at this roster that we're building.
Well, the reason I got you Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers is because we can't win games. I mean, what about that argument?
It's a great argument.
Here's the one thing I will say. So this is going to be interesting. They're not going to pick up. I don't think they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Kayvon Thibodeau.
I mean, they'd be nuts to.
Right. So that means, give him one more year. Maybe he'll be highly motivated. They draft Abdul Carter, and there's your other edge rusher. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen any of this tape on Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all these guys. I've seen 10 million highlight reels.
His shoulder is like 2 inches from the ground when he's coming around the corner.
Which is all the great ones in the NFL are doing that exact thing. Miles Garrett does it. T.J. Watt.
Bruce Smith used to do it.
Micah Parsons does it. Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor did it. They had this just weird ability to just stay on their feet when they come around the corner and lower their shoulder
at a high rate of speed.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, but he's got that stress reaction in his foot, which could scare some people.
All right, let me give you one more scenario.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're the Giants, you're sitting there at number three. Both of those quarterbacks are taken. Okay, and now you have your choice between Hunter or Abdul Carter, and I think everybody would be happy with either player. And then later on in the draft, you trade back into the first round, maybe, you know, 28, 29, who knows, 20, and you draft a Jackson Dart or a other quarterback type.
I don't like any of those guys. I don't like Jalen Milroe. I don't like Jackson Dart for New York. No, don't like it.
Okay.
I mean, that to me is forcing the issue.
All right, but I kind of feel like with these one-year deals with Jameis and with Russell, it's like, what's the future at the position?
That's why I said, you know, if they really loved one of those guys, they would have to trade up and get him. They really loved him. I don't know what the hell. Nobody knows what the future of the position is if they don't get a young guy this year. But I also think that they got scared off. I think that their plan originally was one of those guys is going to fall to us. We'll get one of them at number three. And then they felt like they didn't, so they were like, okay, we're going to have Jameis start, then he's going to be the backup like four or five games in, and just like they did with Eli Manning and Kurt Warner. And then they felt like, I don't know, maybe this is a Titans-Browns quarterback draft, and we're sitting there at three, that we got to do something else, so we got to go out and get Russell Wilson, and they did. But the future, that's a great question, future of that position. But these guys, you know, and I bring this up all the time because the fans look at it differently than the guys that are doing jobs. And it's human nature. And you're going to be a fan forever. The Giant fan is with the team for the rest of your life. These guys are fighting for their jobs. And they have to, because the owner told them, they got to win this year. And you got to show me we're on the right track. So their decisions this offseason will be based on that. Not 3-4 years down the road.
No, based on
what happens in 2025.
Yes.
So there you go. And we'll see. And I'm hoping it's Shador, because that will be the greatest quarterback room to have ever existed. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Shador Sanders, and Tommy DeVito. Come on.
It doesn't get much better than that, for sure.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back, has another update and moment of the day. What's happening, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Dr. Jay Shah at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. So just went through some Brian Daboll, courtesy of SNY, down at the owner meetings as he is sitting gathered around with the reporters. And obviously a big topic is the draft and the quarterback position. And here was Daboll about the importance of it, of course.
The face of a franchise is a quarterback. I mean, it's not an easy position to evaluate. It's not an easy position to coach. It's not an easy position to play. So you do the best job you can. to try to find the right one for your team.
Now, they sit at number three. One thing is he alludes to is how difficult it is to read what other teams may or may not do.
You don't know when they're going to get taken. It's, you know, there's affinity you have for a player. If you feel like that player is the right player and, you know, they're sitting there at the pick, whatever pick it is you have, you know, is it a reach? Is it not a reach? Like, I'm not going to get into that. It's how you feel about the player and, you know, does that player match where you want to take them?
And we'll see if they stay at three and make their selection or move up or move down. Who knows? We do know they got Russell Wilson and they've got Jameis Winston now in the quarterback room. Here was Winston on a Zoom last night. No issues that Russell Wilson came after him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I knew a free agent signing was going to come, or maybe even a draft pick was going to come. But that's their business, man. My business is today. And today I have the privilege of finally becoming a Giant.
Finally becoming a Giant.
Yes. It was a dream come true for James Winston. This is all he was hoping for when he came out of Florida State, is to end up on the Giants.
Well, he really has had, and this probably goes back to the clip I played last hour or 2 hours ago talking about the popularity. I think that came from a question about how much he has done on social media and in front of the camera now, going back to Super Bowl week and then that golf event last week with Kay Adams. So he's all about the camera now. I don't know about playing quarterback.
I do think he's one of the best personalities in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, he is about as funny as they come. And he's going to, it's going to be some interesting times here, depending on whether or not he plays or not.
Yeah.
Just the dynamic between he and Russell Wilson in itself is unique and going to be intense at times.
Imagine if Jameis parlays this into like a job of the Today Show. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, Michael Strahan parlayed his career.
That's
into
what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, Jameis has got one hell of a personality. What about a weekly spot with BT and Sal, Jameis Winston?
I could see that. I could definitely see. I mean, you guys already pointed out when we go to Giant Camp, you don't want Russell Wilson, you want Jameis Winston.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, we've talked to Tommy enough. Yeah,
we like Tommy.
We love him, but we talked to him enough.
Jimmy Haslam is the owner of the Browns. So what is going on with Deshaun Watson? Well, nothing. He's injured, as we know. He was very honest, though, in his conversation about the hit or miss, big miss, with Watson.
Let's address the elephant in the room. You know, we took the big swing and miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't. And we gave up a lot of draft picks to get him. So we've got to dig ourselves out of that hole. The Deshaun Watson was an entire organization decision, and it ends with D&I. So, you know, hold us accountable.
I heard, and I didn't remember, I heard you say it before, that they signed him after all these allegations.
Yeah, 100%.
All of them or just a couple of them?
All of them. He sat out that entire year.
He sat out for a year. He pulled a Kevin Durant. He got paid. And he was put on that. I think he was put on the commissioner exempt list, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and there was like one or two that came out. All of that, 90% of it was all when he was down in Houston.
I thought it was the reverse. I thought a few, and then when he got there, they all.
Right. When you take a look at his contract, so he's got two more years left. He's got this year where he's not going to play.
Yeah.
Because he can. He's physically unable to. And then by next year, you know, maybe next year they'll release him. Hmm. And then it's a question whether or not, you know, he wants to play and anybody wants to see him play. I doubt it.
That has not gone well. Well, they do have the number two pick in the draft. Who's Kevin Stefanski? Where are you going with that pick?
I'm not ready to turn the card in yet, Mary Kay. I think the whole process is really important to me and to us. And there's still quarterbacks that we haven't seen throw live, still haven't gotten to spend time with them. We have guys that we're still going to bring up for our 30. And then we have our coaches' meetings.
You really believe on April 1st they don't know what they're doing, honestly?
No, I don't believe them at all.
I think that the GMs and the scouts have been working year-round to come up with a board in which they will list all their players in the way that they believe that they belong on their draft board. And depending on what they feel like they need internally, and with the way that they're talking about Deshaun Watson, makes you really think that they're going to go quarterback.
I have always maintained that the Browns are going to take the quarterback, and it's either going to be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Obviously, they're not going to trade down and take somebody. It's really the Titans. Do the Titans believe in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders enough, and probably be Cam Ward to take him number one? That's the team that I think is the wild card. But the Browns, they have to take a quarterback. They got no other options. Hmm. I mean, Kenny Pickett is the guy, and Dorian Thompson. I don't even know if he's signed, but that guy played a couple games last year. horrendous.
Yeah. I know there's a rumor out there now, maybe Kirk Cousins to Cleveland.
Yeah, well, he's another one that, you know, you still have to look at in terms of a potential trade, and that trade would be nothing. It'd be like a seventh-round draft choice for that.
They have the vote for the tush push today. Here was Sean McDermott yesterday talking about it again.
There's different forms of it out there. I know we are one of the teams that people identify that run it. That's fair. You know, there's other teams as well. So I just, look, we're gonna always act in a way that's best for the health and safety of the players, and I think that's the responsible way to go.
And I believe, 24 is the number they need to... get it out, I mean, right? 75%.
This is insane. I mean, it really is. This is not cheating in any way. It's football. It's a physical game. Other teams try to do this. They can't do it as well. I mean, to ban this thing because you can't stop it is one of the lamest things I've ever seen.
You got the perfect size quarterback who really knows how to get small and get in behind his guard and centers. And he's done it well, and he's done it better than anybody else. Because I mean, not everybody else is nearly as successful as they are.
Right, and that's the point. So let's say there's a guy who gets drafted in the next couple of years. He can throw the ball 90 yards in the air, maybe even 100 yards in the air. And then these other teams get pissed off, and they're like, you know what, we're going to ban long passes. You know, passes over 40 yards, we got to ban because no one else can do it. I mean, what? This sets a precedent for... just stopping teams being successful at things.
Well, the NHL did it because of Marty Brodeur.
What, the...
The trapezoid.
Yeah, I mean...
It's like a third defenseman back there. Great stick-handling goalie. They changed the rules. To me, to hide behind this whole health and safety thing, I mean, when you're playing football, for God's sake, I mean, I understand. Nobody is... Like they've stopped the hip drop tackle. They've stopped the chop block. You can't block under, you know, below the waist in a certain area on the field anymore. I mean, this is just a great play. And by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody says, has the best offensive line coach in football. And that offensive line coach is the one who devised this. And he came up with it. And if you ask me, you know, I think it's a very valid, legitimate play.
All right, you know this guy better than anybody. You tell me if there's something going on here. This is we're talking about Shannon Sharp.
Okay.
This is on the Nightcap podcast. This is Ocho Cinco talking to Shannon. Again, maybe you can get inside his head. I don't know what's happening here.
Tomorrow is not promised. You got to learn to live. I've said this all the time. You alive, but you're not living. It's okay to step outside your box. It's okay to step outside your comfort zone. Do things different than what you normally do. Try something different.
No, I'm good.
Now, I can't play the rest of it because it gets a little filthy. But what's going on with Shannon?
He's happy.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
No, he said, I'm good. That's what it sounds.
No. He was like, I'm good.
He is good.
It didn't sound good.
Ocho seems concerned for him. I don't know. I don't know if you knew if there was something going on. Maybe not.
He said you're living, but you're not living.
Does Shannon Sharp have a greyhound?
Mets Marlins.
He has little Pomeranians. Believe it or not.
In Miami last night.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive in the air. Well hit right center. It's got some legs. It's back near the wall. Grand slam. Pete Alonso. His first home run of the year.
Yes, it was. Howie Rose.
A salami.
On Mets Odyssey Radio, part of a 10-4 Met win. They also got home runs from Torrens, Nimmo, and Marte. David Peterson threw well. Here was Alonso happy to have the team break out offensively.
I just thought we just had great team at-bats collectively the whole night. I mean, 1-9 was a tough out the entire night. And when that happens, we can score a lot of runs.
You see the CBS Sports Network graphic here?
Yeah.
No barnacles on this polar bear. Good job, boys. That was funny.
That Alonso clip on SNY after the game right here on The Fan. Keith McPherson had an interesting way of how the Mets' offensive breakout felt.
Once they finally got some, they stopped acting like virgin.
What?
Well, they got some, and then they wanted more and more and more. Interesting analogy.
I mean, he was all good on this one, right? I mean, he was fine for this broadcast.
Yeah, well, I think Jerry missed that whole thing. He was getting his colonoscopy. But,
oh, that's right.
It was the day after opening day. Keith McPherson had lost his voice because he was at the stadium screaming. So CeeLo was playing some of his open, and it was
yeah. But he also had an appearance at Stans.
On top
11.
Of it, wow.
Yeah, like it started at 11, I think it went 11 to 1 in Stans.
And then into the game?
Then into the game, and then back onto the radio.
Wow. Yeah, that's tough.
That is a long day.
That is a long day. Making money, though, but a long day. Kodai Senga, Sandy Alcantara tonight. For the Yankees and Diamondbacks, you got Will Warren and Corbin Burns. We'll have that on the fan for you at 6:25. I won't play the Alex Cora one again, but just this highlight. It's hard to believe what has happened. It's only a week. I get it. But this Rafael Devers start to the season is wild for the Red Sox.
0 for 18, 14 strikeouts. Nobody wants to go through this. He's working pregame to try to change something up, get a feel.
Swing and a miss. Down he goes again. 0 for 19 with 15 strikeouts. It boggles the mind, frankly.
And then, it was on Nesson. And then Al and I were in the warm-up show. He had the note of Tony Gwynn in 1995, 15 strikeouts for the year. And what was it? How many at-bats, you remember?
Six? 585.
I mean, that is amazing, isn't it?
So then is that the best ever in a season?
If not, it's pretty damn close. I was going through Keith Hernandez's years because I don't remember him striking out much. And his best year was, I think I found 1985 with the Mets. It was like 670 plate appearances, like 58 strikeouts.
Wow.
And now these guys are striking out 200-plus times a year. It is a different game.
Well,
it's
all about launch angle.
Yes, I'm well aware. I know. Nets beat the Mavericks 113-109. The Knicks take on the 76ers tonight. Women's college basketball. UConn does what they always seem to do.
Left foul line extended. Strong. Hands for Beckers. Left wing three. Got it! Paige Beckers knocks down two huge jumpers. She's got 25. And UConn back on top by 11, 59-48.
Woohoo! Shut up, Gene. She had 31 points. That was Westwood 1 NCAA radio. UConn beat USC 78-64. Lady Huskies into the Final Four for a record 24th time. Texas also advanced as they beat TCU 58-47. Devils and Wild in a shootout. New Jersey comes away with the 2 points.
He tied the game late in the third period at 2. Here comes the young forward, hearing the boos from the crowd down the right wing side. Top of the circle. Now between the circle. Snapper off the crossbar. No! It comes out, and the Devils have won in the shootout.
Yeah. Man, when that snapper comes out,
Snapper.
Be in trouble. He loves that snapper, Matty Lachlan. By the way, Eddie looked it up. I'm sure there's a 100-year-old person that is slowly dialing the phone to give us the stat. But what was it, Joe DiMaggio, when?
1941. 13 strikeouts, 541 at-bats.
That's the greatest of all time.
Okay, well, that was 585, 15.
Yeah. Right. But 13 strikeouts in the...
In 5 what? 530-something? What'd you say?
5... Standby. 541.
Yeah, that's probably still better.
Yeah, pretty good.
It is. I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
And career 369 strikeouts, 361 home runs.
I mean, that is... Wow. That right there will never be done again.
You're right. No, not anymore. That's not the way they play anymore.
It's like the all-time pitching statistics. They'll never be seen again.
Nope. It was the glory days, Boomer.
Yes. Tonight, the Islanders take on the Lightning. All right, time now for moment of the day. Some people think that new Jets head coach Aaron Glenn was a bit difficult to deal with yesterday as we played some clips.
Do you think Jordan Travis will be ready to go for OTAs, and what are your plans for him?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that.
What are your plans for this year?
If he's ready to play, he's going to compete.
There you go.
Good enough for you, ass face.
That okay? Is that a good answer for you, Mr. Media Man?
I'll tell you what, though, it does sound combative to me.
Some people
for no reason. Is Jordan Travis going to be ready? I'm not a doctor.
Some people on social media think he's got it out for Rich Cimini.
Well, yeah, I mean,
does or he doesn't.
Well, he knows what he's walking into. Yeah, 100%. There's one thing you got to say. He knows what he's walking into.
He's also walking into this guy who has asked how he feels about Glenn after hiring him 2 months ago.
The same thing I thought then. I'm so impressed. The guy is a total winner.
Yeah. Nerr. Bah.
Coming from a total loser.
Yeah, right.
And I would know because I'm the exact opposite. I'm a loser. I can see a winner because I'm a loser. Yeah.
Anyway, moment of the day, guys. Enjoy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Well, I guess good news for Ranger fans. Looks like the Rangers signed their first rookie, and that is Gay Perreault from Boston College. As they
Jimmy lost Clinton, and I don't care.
You say Gay Perreault?
Gabe
Perreault?
Perreault, yes.
Okay.
As they lost to Denver in the hockey playoffs, and he just signed his new entry-level contract with the Rangers and will be at practice tomorrow and maybe playing against the Minnesota Wild on Wednesday.
Gabe
night.
Athouse.
Right. There you go. That's nice. That's nice. Kind of like what Chris Kreider did when he came out of Boston College many years ago.
Okay, so this could be a little shot in the arm spot for you?
A little shot in the arm for the Rangers, and we'll see if Chris Drury puts him out there. You know, he is a smaller player, but he is a very, very talented player. Unfortunately, Boston College had the number one team in the country this year and did not make it to the Final Four.
Okay. So this is something that you're excited about. Your team's still got an opportunity. You're
100%
still hoping they turn it on.
Yeah, sure.
The whole thing with figure it out towards the end of the season. Hot goalie, Capitals, are they really that impressive?
You never know. I mean, the Capitals got a good team. They got a bunch of good young players that they've added over the last year. And certainly Ovechkin's still going for Gretzky's record. And yeah.
Is he coming back next year for sure?
I would say yes.
Well,
why wouldn't he?
Well, because he got the record.
He's 100 years old. Add on to the record, he still can play. Can still play at a high level. Still got a great shot. Doesn't have to play nearly the amount of minutes that he normally would play because of these young guys that they have on their team. They found themselves a reasonably good goaltending. So, they're going to be a bitch in the playoffs, of course. But, the Rangers still have very much a shot. The Islanders still have a shot. The Canadians still have a shot. The Blue Jackets still have a shot. Everybody's right there in the middle. And they're all looking up to the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean, and the Islanders have found themselves in a similar position the last number of years where they make a run towards the end of the season, and then they get in, and then they run into a better team like the Carolina Hurricanes, and then they hang with them for a little bit and then get beat.
I was trying to think, if you were the Capitals,
mm-hmm.
who don't you want to play?
I don't know enough about the Canadians. I obviously know the Islanders and the Rangers. I mean... Nobody's really separated themselves, right?
I would think. Like, Sorokin's a good goalie for the Islanders, and they traded away their best player, and it was a good trade for the Islanders. So, on most accounts, people thought that it was a really good trade for them. I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but I would think that, Shesterkin is a guy that you don't want to see in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, just conventional wisdom. We're talking about a team that did win the President's Trophy last year, does have a goaltender who has... won the top awards, the Vezina, at one point in his career, right? So
just something that has been missing with the Rangers this year, and their power play has been atrocious compared to what it was the last 2 years, which is one of the big reasons why they were as good as they were.
Yeah.
I would say that their defense has been very shaky, very inconsistent all year long. And, you just wonder where guys like Chris Kreider and Vincent Trocheck and Mika Zibanejad have been for the entire year.
So if the Rangers don't make the playoffs, Laviolette's 100% gone, you would imagine, right?
I would definitely say yes.
Now, what would it take for him to keep his job? Just making the playoffs, or like making the playoffs, making it to 7 games in round one?
It's hard to say. If they get wiped out, let's say they make the playoffs and they get wiped out in the first round, he's gone.
Yeah.
If they go and win the first round and all of a sudden turn their game on because they do still have top-end talent, namely Panarin and Trocheck, and Lafreniere finds, the fact that he was the number one overall pick somehow finds his way to where his contract is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a chance that you have very good players that are on a team that just, for whatever reason, has lost a lot of ugly games this year. I mean, to bad teams. That's really... The most disheartening thing about this and their December was a December that was just awful.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference, obviously, between this year and last year, and even including with the Knicks,
is, and the Knicks have had a better season, obviously, than the Rangers have, but you felt last year like those teams every single night had given you everything they had, and both teams, because the Rangers obviously had the best record in the league, and you had the Knicks that were fighting and grinding and scratching and clawing, and you just fell in love with them, and DiVincenzo and Hartenstein and Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle. And this year, you don't feel that way about either one of them.
I mean, Chris Drury has had to remake this team on the fly, and it all started in the offseason with trying to trade the captain, and then all the no-move clause, no-trade clause, and then you had to give Shesterkin a contract, and you had to move guys, and you had to, you traded away Hedl, you traded away Kako, you brought in a whole new defensive core, essentially, to go with the three guys that were already here. They're kind of small in size, some of the guys for the Rangers on defense. They just get steamrolled and are out of position. But then you go and trade for JT Miller, who brings an edge and a chip on his shoulder back to the team. So this is why I think the Rangers could be dangerous if they get in, because maybe then all of a sudden everybody will, do what they're supposed to do and play a full 200-foot game.
Baseball and hockey, the two sports where you get in, anything can happen. And it happened in football occasionally, not as much, though. I mean, you've seen teams get hot that have been miserable for an entire season.
The Giants.
And then figure it out. Yeah, I mean, right. It happened. 2007 Giants, for sure.
I would just say the thing about football, it's one and done. It's one game. You know, trying to beat a team 4 out of 7 games is not easy.
No.
Especially if a team that has had a much better year than you. It does happen. We saw the St. Louis Blues do this a few years ago, where they had the worst team in hockey on January 1st, and then went all the way to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
and they're kind of in the midst of that right now again.
They're doing it again.
They've won 10 in a row.
Are they still playing that glorious song for their goal?
I don't watch a lot of St. Louis Blues games.
Yes, you do. I know you do. You watch all this stuff.
Well, I watch it and I pay attention to it. But yeah, so they're in the middle of one of these late season runs where everybody for the first or the second wild card in the Eastern Conference is basically got losing records over the last 10 games. It's crazy how not one of these teams has separated themselves. If one team just could have won 7 out of 10 games, they'd have like a 6-point lead right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Gloria thing was like OMG, though, kind of, right? Do you get rid of it? Do you keep it? I mean, if they're running back that Gloria, they got that magic.
They probably they feel got like that they magic. Do. Maybe they do.
I mean, that's what the Rangers need is a gimmick. They're just missing a gimmick.
We're not gimmicky.
We just need one little gimmick, something.
What we need is the power play to show up. And we need, JT Miller to lead these guys. So one thing about the Rangers right now, they don't have a captain. And when you don't have a captain, you don't win the Stanley Cup.
You know what's funny is, speaking of old songs like that, so during the show on CBS Sports Network, there is a commercial for a sports book that is talking about responsible gambling, and they use The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. And for whatever reason, Sabrina, who's 7 years old, loves that song. She walks around the house going, you gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em. And I'm like, how in the hell does Kenny Rogers, The Gambler, resonate with my 7-year-old daughter? I have no idea.
What you should do is you should take that and attach it to her soccer prowess.
Yeah.
Say, know when to pick it up, know how to throw it.
Yeah.
Where to kick it.
What the hell the coach is doing. I gotta get involved.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know. She did say the other day, though, I gotta get her outside myself and be like, oh, we're gonna practice soccer. She did say to me, she's like, Daddy, I wanna practice soccer today. So, all right, that's a step in the right direction. So, but now we got bigger issues. Like, it was just individual, me and her, gotta get her better. Now the whole team's collapsing. So now I got bigger issues. Now I gotta focus on her and then the rest of the team now. But I mean,
hey, maybe a good film session. I think a good film session, pull up YouTube, pull up Ronaldo or Messi or Pele or somebody.
I mean, hell.
And say, look how you play this game, ladies. This is how you play it.
All you have to do is show them the daisies. I mean, that's basically like showing them Messi and
Ronaldo.
Or,
you know what? Get the women's gold medal team.
Damn right.
And show them a couple of those videos.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to have to, if I ever become the coach, which is not going to happen, I will do that. Maybe I'll suggest it. Put a little suggestion box.
You wear that sweatshirt, you'll be good to go.